Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania.
Keystone of democracy.
I love your valleys and hills. I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
Once more, we present another in the series of programs, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy, an historical dramatization showing the part our own state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 United States in building the American way of life. This series is prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to acquaint you better with the glorious history of our great Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home, sweet home to me, Pennsylvania, my home.
I don't know what this country's a-coming to. I just heard of a feller named Martin Horn made the trip over the national road from Cumberland to Wheeling with a six-horse team and a big load in 5 days. And that's a distance of 129 miles. It don't sound possible.
Such were the proud records achieved 100 years ago by wagoners on the old national road through southwestern Pennsylvania. Today, secure in the material advancement of this century, we travel such distances in hours, not days, and view transportation difficulties between the East and the West in terms of flat tires or delayed trains. But it was not always so. At one time, the rugged Allegheny Mountains were a formidable barrier between the Atlantic Sea coast and the open land beyond the Ohio. The conquering of this obstacle by the National Road, the only highway of its kind ever constructed by the United States government, is a story worth retelling. Let us go back to the year 1805. In the new capital at Washington, D.C., a meeting of the cabinet of Thomas Jefferson is being held. Albert Gallatin, Secretary of the Treasury, is speaking.
We talk, gentlemen, of opening up the West, of extending our frontier even into that vast land beyond the Mississippi. But I can assure you from personal experience that our conversation is idle daydreaming until one thing is done.
And what is that, Mr. Gallatin?
It is the construction of a good road, Mr. President, across the mountains to the Ohio River. My home, as you know, is in western Pennsylvania, in Fayette County, and a journey there is a most difficult and arduous undertaking. Trade and commerce will never flow over such routes as now exist. Adequate facilities must be built.
And who is to build this road, Mr. Gallatin?
I conceive it to be a responsibility of the federal government. Such an internal improvement would promote national unity and welfare.
Would not such a venture be very expensive? As I recall from your last statement, Mr. Gallatin, the national debt is over $86 million, and it would not be prudent to...
To be penny wise and pound foolish. By building such a highway, I believe we would greatly increase the sale of western lands, and hence add to our revenue for debt retirement.
But would it be constitutional? The Constitution does not grant the government power to construct roads.
Neither did it specifically permit the Louisiana Purchase. We must remember, gentlemen, that the West will not always be a wilderness. Someday it will rise up to become a great empire, and it will be cut off from us by high mountains unless steps are taken to bind it close to the East. Do you not agree, Mr. President?
Is there not a small sum of money now being set aside from the sale of Ohio lands intended for the purpose of which you speak, Mr. Gallatin?
Yes. It amounts to... One moment. Here it is. It amounts in the last 4 years to exactly $12,652.
We will be a long time getting a road to the Ohio with such financing as that. Additional appropriation might well be made. If Congress were to pass favorably on such a measure, I am certain it would receive my heartiest support.
On March 29, 1806, the National Road of Gallatin's dream was authorized by Congress. Cumberland, Maryland, on the Potomac River, was chosen for the starting point, and from this, the road took its popular name, the Cumberland Road. In April 1807, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania granted authority for the National Road to pass over any ground within the limits of this state which might be deemed most advantageous. Because of the War of 1812, construction was slow. But in 1818, the road was first opened to the public. 40 feet wide, graded and drained, it immediately became the one great highway over which passed the bulk of travel between the east and west. A common sight were the Conestoga wagons, those great covered land docks first created by the Pennsylvania Germans in Lancaster County. From Little Crossings to Winding Ridge, from Piney Grove to Eggnog Hill, they rumbled on carrying pioneers to the fertile lands beyond the Alleghenies. Beside them often walked sturdy frontiersmen with their ever-ready Pennsylvania rifles. Loaded with tools and household goods.
Gee up there, Bessie. Gee up there. Come on, Bessie. Gee up there. What's the matter with the young un, Ma? Billy, you and Zeke get out your guitar and fiddle and play the baby the song you learned back there in Summerfield. Maybe she'll stop a bawling.
Sure will, Pa.
Gee up there, Bessie.
Howdy. How far be it to Uniontown?
About 20 miles, I should say. Ain't that right, Jake?
Reckon so.
It's a good road.
Sure is. The national road's all good. But you better cut yourself a pole to sprag that Conestoga of yourn when you go down over Chestnut Ridge. Where are ye bound for?
Indiana. Folks tell me there's a mighty good farmland can be had along the Wabash.
So I've heard. That right, Jake?
Reckon so.
Well, must be getting on. Thank you kindly for the information, stranger. Get up there, you did. Get up, Bessie. Get up there.
Watch yourself a going down the ridge. That right, Jake?
Reckon so.
And through Pennsylvania, the traffic moved on. Wagons carrying flour and furs to the east. Hardware and cloth to the west, binding fast together the life of the nation. Handsome stagecoaches plied the pike carrying salesmen and statesmen, men like Henry Clay of Kentucky, who long encouraged the extension of the road and who was a frequent visitor at the roadside taverns, which offered shelter to presidents and wagoners alike.
Good evening, landlord. Good evening.
Well, if it ain't Mr. Clay of Kentucky. Welcome, Mr. Clay. Come right in.
Howdy, Mr. Clay.
Hello, Benjamin. Hello, boy. It appears from your clothes you had an accident. Where's your driver?
One hitching the team. He'll be in presently. We left Sam Sibley, the regular driver, back in Uniontown with a broken nose.
Sam, with a just a minute, boys. Just a minute. Let Mr. Clay have a seat at the table first.
You know, maybe Sam Sibley was making full speed past the toll house, trying to get by without paying, and the wheel caught in one of the pipes.
Now, let Mr. Clay tell what happened himself. I'll wager his story better than any of yours.
Well, I'm afraid the truth isn't half as good as the stories. We were coming out of Uniontown, just left the McClellan house. Sam was driving at a good pace when we hit a pile of limestone in the road. Over went the coach, and I flew out. Sam didn't land so soft, though, and we picked him up with a broken nose.
Are you sure you weren't hurt any, Mr. Clay? Being thrown out can be mighty serious.
Beyond a little scare, I wasn't hurt. But it was the first time I ever heard of mixing the limestone of Pennsylvania with the clay of Kentucky.
Yes, the limestone... That's a good one.
Large, hospitable taverns studded the length of the road. They offered rest for the horses in the stable yard, food and beds for the tired wagoners, and sometimes a rousing square dance with a tavern keeper grinding out a tune on his old fiddle and girls of the neighboring towns and countryside for partners. Thank you. National Road was extolled in Congress as magnificent in extent. In blessings and benefits, it diffused far and wide throughout the country. But meanwhile, a new and better method of transportation was putting an end to the road's usefulness. By 1852, the railroads were extended west of the Alleghenies, and one by one, the wagons began to disappear from the pike. In every tavern, you could hear a lament for the passing of the old times.
Yes, sir, times ain't like they was. I'm on the day when I carried 100 pounds of freight between her and Baltimore. And you know what I got in my wagon now? Nothing. Ain't that right, Jake?
You reckon so.
Yeah, same with everybody these days.
It's them consarn railroads. Ever since they brought them west, there's no work for wagoners. For long, the road will be a desert.
I remember once you'd pass 50 wagons in a mile, loaded with tobacco, grain, till it was pretty nigh top heavy. And where are they now? Where are the wagoners you'd always meet here in the tavern?
Well, George Halem's going to California. Said he's going to find gold.
John Snyder settled up on a farm in Uniontown. Why, he does better there in a month than he'd do in a road in a year. Just the way things is going nowadays.
Eh, good mind to do the same thing myself over in Somerset County.
Not me. I'll never leave the day I die. I've been a wagoner close to 30 years, ever since the time I drove my father's team to Cumberland, lad of 18. I'll never forget that trip. Had 1,800 load and 7 horse. The road's rice in Laurel Hill, and we slipped down the eastern slope into a ditch by the old French house. Thought I'd never get her out. But Parazichi's, he came along, give me a lift. We pull her out and deliver the goods in less than 5 days. Weren't bad for winter, that right, Jake?
I reckon so.
You know, there was one winter I had to wait 3 days this side of the Ohio, just waiting for the river to melt or freeze over one t'other. By the time it did, there was 200 wagons camped alongside, 200 of them. And Pete Burdine cussing because he couldn't break his own record.
Yeah, those are the great days. Great drivers. Yeah, the old pike is ruined by the railroad, though. Can't get load nowhere.
Hey, did you hear the song they made about it?
No,
what? Listen. Wait a minute. Now, all ye jolly wagoners, you have got good wives. Go home to your farms and there spend your lives. Oh, when your corn is cribbed and your small grain is good, you'll have nothing else to do but curse the old railroad.
The National Road was to give way to new and improved avenues of transportation, the contribution it made to the growth of our state and nation ranks it as one of the outstanding achievements in the history of America.
Today, Pennsylvania is proud of more than 32,000 miles of improved highways. These roads are vital in the nation's struggle for survival.
Just as the National Road set the pattern for present highways, Pennsylvania's Great Turnpike, also cutting through the Alleghenies, will become the model for the roads of tomorrow when victory has been won.
Today, as in the past, the people of the state are again overcoming the obstacles to human progress. Pushing back the frontiers of ignorance, conquering the wilderness of tyranny, this great commonwealth is still showing the same spirit that has always made it Pennsylvania, keystone of democracy.
Ah, Pennsylvania, you're the land that I adore. I love your valleys and hills, I always will. You're the one great state that I have always for.
You have just heard another in the series of broadcasts, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy, prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense. Use your car as little as possible. Save on gas and tires. This can be a real contribution to the national war effort. Buy war bonds and stamps. Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another program of Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam,